92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
It's not just a bike. Peloton makes treadmills, too.
Eh, all treadmills are the same.
Our treadmills can adjust speed and incline automatically, so you never break your stride. Whether you're squeezing in a power walk or training for a marathon, Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Tread risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I've got a real inspiring story for you today. We have a husband and wife team. They both have full-time jobs, but on the side, they've been working on building out their rental portfolio, and they built up enough rental income that if one of them wanted to leave their job, they could. Now, they both love their job. They have no interest in quitting. But if something changed, they have that flexibility that one of them could walk away and it wouldn't affect their life one bit. I think this is really awesome. So let's find out how they did it. First, we'll take a 30-second break. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Rob and Megan.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's noradarealestate.com/guide.
Megan, let's start with you. How did you guys first get started buying rental properties?
Sure. I was in college, a sophomore, and my dad didn't think it was a great idea to get an apartment and said it made more sense to get a house and then have the roommates pay for the mortgage. So that's what we ended up doing. He's had a lot of experience with rentals as well. He owns about 25 single families in my hometown. And so this wasn't a new thing for our family at all.
I love that. I think that's just so awesome. So your dad owned rentals. You grew up with it. It seemed normal to rent out rooms in a house.
Yeah, right? But not anything strange or new to us. He is a licensed broker as well, so I kind of have access to those, you know, resources mm-hmm. that he had as well. So that's what I did. You know, I would post on the university websites and find roommates that way. I didn't, you know, do anything crazy, Craigslist or anything like that. Just other females that went to the university, and it started there. You know, it was easy way to get the mortgage covered, and
sure.
It gave me experience that I didn't realize I was getting at the time.
Yeah. So then you meet Rob, and let's welcome Rob to the show. Hey, Rob. So what happened? So you met Megan, and then did you move into this house, or how did things change when you met Rob?
Yes, I ended up moving into the house after we got engaged. I was living in a different part of the town of the city that we live in, and was throwing a lot of money away on rent, and said, you know, we could save a lot of money if we moved in together. But she said, nope. She said, I need a ring on my finger first. And so I coughed up, and it was the hardest check I remember writing. And I think I was at the jewelry store at 10 o'clock at night writing that check and just sweating it.
Sure.
But anyway, we moved in together, and I took that money that I was saving, and we put that on the house as well. And we paid off the mortgage within just like another year or two that we were living together. So we paid that off, and then we were – we started just saving the money that we were paying down the mortgage, just saving it up for, you know, the next house.
That's incredible. Megan, how long had you owned that property from the time you bought it until it was paid off?
It was probably about 10 years.
Okay. That's really awesome. And so you had a 30-year mortgage, but by just paying extra on it, you ended up getting it paid off in 10 years, which is, you know, really incredible.
And we had help from my dad. You know, initially I was a college student and he put the down payment, and then at the very end he helped as well. So
okay.
It was a combination of getting rent from from roommates, saving and putting down extra in parental support. So
okay,
definitely
awesome. Yep. So all right, so now you've got this house paid off, and then you decided that you wanted to move to a new house.
Yeah, we started having a family, and we were in a 3-1. And then once the second kid came along, we just needed the extra space and needed an additional bathroom. And so we started looking for larger homes in the area. And when we found one, we decided, we sat down and we talked about it and said, well, what do you want to do? We can sell this house and basically pay off our new one, or we can keep this house and rent it and see what we want to do. If that works, well, great. If not, we can sell it later. And because we just didn't see the advantage of living rent-free, but we weren't really changing our lives much, changing mm-hmm. our prospects any, because, we'd still be debt-free, but we weren't doing anything different.
Right, right. Yeah, being debt-free isn't going to help you get rich. I mean, you got to expand at some point to kind of reach financial freedom. So you guys ended up buying a new house, and then you rented out that first house that was paid off.
Yes,
awesome.
The same couple is still in there 5 years later.
That is awesome. Now, in the last 5 years, you guys have just really gotten out of control with the rentals. You went from that one rental, and how many units do you have today?
We have 39 doors.
That's incredible. Now, how did you guys get there? I mean, that seems like for someone that's maybe just getting started, to have one rental is a huge deal, or getting to two rentals is a huge deal. But getting up to 39 rentals, was it hard? Or was it just kind of taking baby steps one at a time?
I think we progressed fairly quickly. You know, if money was not an object and I had, a lot more of it, I would keep buying properties. But of course, you know, having the capital means to purchase them is the only thing that limits us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we enjoy it, and we've learned how to work the model now, and we really enjoy it.
So tell me the model. So tell me, like, what are you guys looking for? Like, if you see a property, do you kind of have a checklist of things that you're looking for?
We do. We try to stay away from flood zones, for one, and those are, throughout our area. So that's one thing I check, because that's, of course, additional insurance, money mm-hmm. every year, and then of course the risk that goes with it. And the other thing I look at when I run the numbers, in Texas, the property tax is a big factor. It can be up to 3% in some areas, just depending on what county you're in. So we will run the numbers based on rents as they stand today, what the insurance expectation is, what the property taxes are, and then if there are any utilities, and what I will run that, and if my cash on cash return is 13% or higher, then usually we'll keep looking at it.
All right, let me stop you on that real quick, because that's, I think, an interesting thing to point out. So cash on cash return, for anyone that doesn't know, that's the return that you're making for the cash that you're putting into the deal. So basically, sure. The less money you put into the deal, the higher percentage you might make. But, I guess, like, this is something that a lot of investors look at, but I think it's kind of to look at it at a percentage. I don't know if that's like a real metric. So if you put $100 into a deal and you make $200 cash flow in a year, you've just made 200%.
Sure.
But you've made $200, and if you have one little repair, that money is wiped out. So it's almost something like looking back on it, you can know what your true return is. But looking forward, I feel like it's a little bit hard to project. Am I right?
It is. You're right. And And again, if you have no money in the deal, then $1
right, infinite. It,
you know, 100% returns.
Right.
You have to look at that cash every month that is in your projection and say, okay, well, if I've got to replace a water heater, if I've got to paint a unit, et cetera, am I going to be able to do it? If you're only going to make $100 a month, $1,200 in a year is not going to last you through one turnover.
Right.
Typically.
Right.
And so that cash amount has to make sense also. But from a return perspective, that's my initial keep looking or walk away.
Right. Okay. So if you can get 13% on your money, then you're happy. Now, how do you budget for repairs? Because things are going to happen from time to time, but you don't know how much it's going to cost. You don't know when it's going to come. Like, how do you know, how much do you budget for repairs?
Well, for a fourplex, for example, I will budget, anywhere between $300 to $500 a month.
Okay. Okay.
And if we get to the end of the year and we've got, you know, excess cash sitting in there, then we can take it and utilize it.
Okay.
But we're all about putting our money back into our property. So we're not really taking money out. Mm-hmm. Up until this past year, we've just kept it in there and we will just apply it to the property.
Okay.
And make sure that the refinishes are nicer than what we'd have done if we wouldn't have had the extra money.
Coming up on the Rental Income Podcast.
Rob and Megan both work full time and they're also both self-managing their rental property. So I want to see how that's working out and how they divide the activities. We'll get into that in just a second. But first, I want to thank our sponsor today. It's roofstock.com. If you're looking for good cash flowing rental properties, you know that today it's not very easy. It's very hard to find properties where the numbers make sense. Well, there is a brand new way that you could find great cash flowing rental properties, and that is through Roofstock. What they do is they provide a hassle-free way for you to find great cash flowing rental properties all across the country, so you're not limited by where you live. They list rental properties that already have tenants in place across 16 different states, and they also connect their customers with the best local property managers in each market. Roofstock does all the number crunching, so you can look at a property, you can look at the pictures, you can read some information about the property, and you can look at the cap rate, the returns, the monthly cash flow, and see if the property makes sense. It's a real great, easy, hassle-free way to buy rental properties. Roofstock has put together a special offer just for the listeners of the Rental Income Podcast. If you go to roofstock.com/rentalincome and sign up today, you can get $350 off when you close on your first rental property through Roofstock. Offer valid for a limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Go to roofstock.com/rentalincome today. All right, let's get back to the show. So, Megan, tell me, how do you guys divide up the management work for the properties?
Typically, I will do the showings, sometimes a combo effort of, you know, the posting and handling the calls that come from that. And then I also will go through with the prospective tenants, the application, the credit check, getting leases set up, checking references, all of that kind of more administrative type stuff. And then typically Robert does the maintenance issues and he has gotten lots of experience lately.
You guys have had a lot of maintenance recently?
Well, just over the years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, he didn't know how to work on air conditioners previously and now he really is good at that. So.
Wow. So Rob, you're actually doing the work?
I do a lot of it, yes. Now, on the renovations, I don't like to paint. I don't have a whole lot of patience for painting, and I'm not very good at it, so I've turned that over to we've got a good maintenance guy that will come in and do projects, and he's multi-talented, so he can do, you know, plumbing, electrical, drywall all at the same time. And so if we've got something significant, I'll use him, but we did learn as we went how to do these. Our second buildings that we bought two fourplexes right next to each other. And within 6 months or less, we had 6 of the 8 air conditioners have issues.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And so kind of thrown into the fire, and we had to learn, you know, what it was to maintain them, what was needed, what parts typically go out, you know, which AC guys to call for one, because that's a wide array of expense too. You can go from, you know, a $2,000 repair to a $500 repair, depending on who you call.
Sure.
And so we kind of learned by putting our feet in the fire.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about some gotchas, because you were telling me before the show there were a bunch of gotchas that you figured out along the way over the last couple of years. The first one you were mentioning was about insurance when you have your properties in an LLC. Tell me about that. Like, how is insurance different when you have an LLC?
Yeah, so our first property, once we had the house paid for it and we turned it into a rental, we just went ahead and set up an LLC and put that property in there. And when we went to go and change insurance on it, we realized that it had suddenly morphed into a business policy versus a standard homeowner's policy. And they wanted, one, a lot more money to insure the same property that we've owned for the last 10, 12 years. And two, they just, it was just a very cumbersome process to go through and get a quote. No longer get a quote over the phone. It took a week, you know, and everybody's premiums were vastly different.
So how were the premiums different? Like, can you tell me what the premium was when you owned the property individually and what the premium ended up being?
I think that property was probably an $800 or $900 annual premium for I don't remember what the coverage is, say like $130,000 coverage. Just standard, no flood insurance, et cetera, homeowner's policy. But then you start looking around, every broker that you call has got a different way of pricing policies. Some do it in-house, some reach out to other providers to price them. And we were getting quotes for $5,000 all the way to $3,000.
Wow.
And each person took 3 to 4 days to get back to you. So we were kind of waiting to hear back before we solicited someone else. And it was just a horrendous process.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big consideration if anyone's thinking about putting their properties in an LLC, because the insurance, I mean, to go from less than $1,000 to $3,000 is a huge difference.
So, it is. Coverage.
And then plus just the extra cost of getting the taxes done on the LLC and whatever filing fees your state might have. You know, there's a lot of administrative stuff behind it. So that's definitely something good to keep in mind. Not saying you should or shouldn't put your properties in an LLC, but that's definitely something to consider. Another thing that you learned, another gotcha, is that some of your properties require inspections from the city from time to time?
Well, we've actually got 2 different properties in 2 different municipalities, and they've got 2 different levels of inspection. One property requires an inspection prior to the tenant moving in if it's been 12 months since the last inspection, or the tenants turned over, whichever is greater. So if they've been there for 5 or 6 years and move out, then you're going to require someone to come by. But if it's within 12 months and you just got to get signed off, and they won't come back, but they will walk through there. You pay them a little fee in person. You got to show up, and they will walk through, make sure, check electrical, plumbing connections before they will release the electrical and the city utilities.
And I think that's pretty common for a lot of cities. Like, most cities, I think, have some kind of inspection. So that's not a big deal. I wouldn't let that scare anyone off from buying a property in a city. But that's something, I think, to be aware of when you're buying a property. Just check to see if there's going to be any inspection, because it's just a little bit of extra hassle. But that's a good gotcha. And then the other thing that you guys figured out was about extra electric charges for a laundry machine. So tell me about this. You bought a property that had a laundry machine, and so you looked at this as an extra revenue source, but there is an extra electric expense that is higher than you guys thought it was going to be. Is that
sure,
right?
Sure. We thought that, you know, there were coin operated laundry in the unit, in a separate room. And we thought that was going to be an advantage. Maybe, you know, they were bringing in $150 to $200 a month on that. And then, so of course we asked, well, can we see the electric bill as well? So when we saw that, that was also around $150 to $200.
Oh, wow.
And so that left us essentially flat. And that was before, you know, if there were any issues with repair on any of, the machines that were happening. And so the way that they do this commercial, utility is that they measure the peak and then they promise that they will have that electricity available on the grid for you month long. Which doesn't make much sense for things like laundry rooms or
right.
Churches have a problem with this as well. You know, with their services only on Sunday primarily, and they get charged for those.
Right.
Charges. So,
what about water? Do you have a commercial water bill too?
No, the water is from the city. So that's, you know, some of the multifamily that we get, they don't have separated meters. So there's one master meter. But those charges are pretty typical. We have six flexes that are $400 to $450 a month, and so you divide that by six, that's really not that bad.
Okay. Wow. I mean, so it's it looked like the laundry was going to be a moneymaker, but is it actually costing you money? Like, have you had repairs yet or any kind of maintenance?
This past year we did, and the laundry machines, even though they're very, they don't have all the bells and whistles that the laundry machines in your house has. There's not 15 settings. There's not 20 different types of pampering they can do for your clothes. There's only three. You know, it's high, medium, low, on or off.
Mm-hmm.
But there's $800 a pop.
Right.
And so it is expensive, and I had to learn how to test the components of it when things go wrong, or replace two of the mechanisms in the coin operators this year. And those are about $100 a pod, but I ordered those myself and installed them myself. But hopefully they continue without any problems. The problem with this unit is they don't have laundry facilities in the individual units. So they're
right.
Bedrooms was turned into a laundry room. So we got to keep it running, but I've been able to increase the coin machines to where it more or less evens out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be frustrating, because like that should be a revenue source with the extra little bit of work you have to do to keep those machines going. That's really frustrating that the electric is so high. But, you know, it's maybe, if it's breaking even for you guys, I mean, it's just a little bit of extra work. And I'm sure the building overall is profitable. So,
yeah.
Well, and we considered, you know, shutting it down completely. But I think then we lose prospective tenants.
Yeah.
Without laundry on site.
That's
so
true.
We didn't want to do that either.
That's true. Yeah, that is a great amenity to offer your tenants. Yeah, I think a lot of tenants, you're right, you would probably lose the tenants you have and maybe attract a lower quality tenant. So that's, I guess, just the cost of doing business with that property. Well, Rob and Megan, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you you coming on and telling your story, and congratulations on everything you guys have accomplished.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. And thank you for listening. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pair.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.